Welcome back to Listen to Your Heart. I'm Jerry.
And I'm Jerry's Heart.
Today's topic, Repatha, Evolokimab. Heart, why'd you pick this one?
Well, Jerry, for people who have had a heart attack, like us, diet and exercise might not be enough to lower the risk of another one.
Okay.
To help know if we're at risk, we should be getting our LDL-C, our bad cholesterol, checked, and talking to our doctor.
I'm listening.
And if it's still too high, Repatha can be added to a statin to lower our LDL-C and our heart attack risk.
Guess it's time to ask about Repatha.
Do not take Repatha if you're allergic to it. Serious allergic reactions can occur. Get medical help right away if you have trouble breathing or swallowing, swelling of the face, lips, tongue, throat, or arms. Common side effects include runny nose, sore throat, common cold symptoms, flu or flu-like symptoms, back pain, high blood sugar, and redness, pain, or bruising at the injection site.
Listen to your heart.
Ask your doctor about Repatha. Learn more at Repatha.com or call 1-844-REPATHA.
You have a vision for your business. Your priority might be to
expand facilities
or
bring in the best talent.
At Century Insurance, we listen, learn, and work to understand your business and your plans to help protect your
new locations.
As your business evolves and your vision comes true, Century. Right by you. Property and casualty coverages are underwritten and safety services are provided by a member of the Century Insurance Group, Stevens Point, Wisconsin. For a complete listing of companies, visit century.com. Policies, coverages, benefits, and discounts are not available in all states. See policy for complete coverage details.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan on News Talk.
I mentioned at the start of the program today, I was interested in talking about acne and your experience of that growing up or even now, if it's something you're currently dealing with, because actress Scarlett Johansson, reading her piece this morning, she's spoken out about having suffered with what she described as crippling acne for years. She said at one stage when she was 14, she was told that her face looked like her face looked like the surface of a volcano. And she dealt with this for years and years until she got control over it. And she spoke about it and figures out it is Acne Awareness Month this month, the month of June. And we're hearing today that more Irish men than women suffer from acne. It's just women are more likely to discuss the condition. So I want to discuss it today. I want to chat to people. I want to hear what worked for you or what was your experience of it. Amy got in touch. Amy is on the line. You've suffered, Amy, with acne.
I have indeed. I suffered with acne for years upon years due to endometriosis.
Okay.
I have stage 3 endometriosis, diagnosed when I was 19. And I have suffered with acne on and off throughout my whole life, basically. And it is like it's crippling when you have, like, you know, this on your face, or I suffer a lot with it on my back. You know, so I have like back acne, you know, which is basically I can't wear, you know, like I won't wear certain tops, you know, because I don't want to see my back, you know, and it's the same with my arms. I get it down my arms, you know, and people don't understand, I suppose, that acne, it's not just something that you look at and you go, oh, she's a few spots. You know, it is to the point that you're trying different makeups, you know, it's actually... Like, I became so involved with makeup that I made it into a career because I was trying to cover up what you could see on the outside. And I was already battling what was going on the inside with endometriosis. You know, and then you go on different medication to try and battle, you know, the devastating acne that's on your face, that's on your back, that's on your arms. And sometimes it can actually make it worse. You know, so it's usually they'll tell you, you know, it's going to get worse before it gets better. And that's something that I've always kind of battled with in my teenage years, but especially more so in my 20s. Mm. I'm 29 now, but it has always been something that I've been so, so self-conscious about. And my mum always says to me, you know, she's like, it's okay, like, you know, we can, like, we'll try this or we'll try that. But when it comes to my back, like, you know, my mum has to exfoliate my back because I can't reach, you know, and then the spots get so sore that, you know, that if I lie down on my back in bed, you know, it's so uncomfortable, I can't sleep. So, you know, they'll burst, you know, and it's all hormonal related. Mm. So it's not something that we can just control. It's not something that it's a one pill fits all.
No.
You know, And especially when it comes to endometriosis and women with endometriosis, because we are constantly, our bodies are like, you know, being attacked inside. So it all comes back then to how it projects on the outer surface of our skin. And some women are lucky they don't get acne, you know, but that doesn't mean, you know, that we're all perfect, you know, because just because we don't have it on our faces doesn't mean we don't have it on our back, our legs, our arms, you know. And it is something that I suppose we have all, there's such a taboo about it that it's kind of, you know, it's that people would say, you know, like having acne is like, you know, your skin isn't clean, you know, you don't take your makeup off, you know. But when you actually get to the nitty gritty of it, it is all stems down to hormonal issues. It can stem down to, like, you know, if you have an autoimmune disease, you know. And that's something I suppose that people don't talk about very often, is what it actually comes down to and why we suffer so badly, you know. And it is, it's just very, very hard when with endometriosis we go through so much with our inner body, and then for it to start, like, you know, portraying on the outside of our body, it is a very, very, very hard thing to deal with.
And a lot of people don't even think, Amy, of the fact, like, you know, even when you just, when you talk about back acne and how you describe it, but like even just the not being able to sleep at night with it, you know, like that's incredibly
frustrating. And then you're thinking then, I can't have wet, white bed sheets, because if one of the spots burst, it's going to go on the bed sheet, you know. Or, you know, we won't wear, you know, little crop tops or anything, because you can see our backs. You know, we can't put tan on the back, or on our backs. You know, then it will be, we can't get sunburnt because the pain will be excruciating. You know, so it is, it's not just acne, you know. And that's, I suppose, the voice that we want to get out there.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. I listened to Shane Coleman here earlier this morning, you know, and he was talking about his experience dealing with it growing up. And I thought it was an interesting point he made when people, like, people, when they meet you, they talk to you about it, and everybody wants to kind of offer advice, and did you try this and try the other, and actually that must be terrible. Of course you've tried everything.
Yeah, and that is one thing, I suppose, that when you speak and you're talking to somebody, you know, you will notice that they are staring, you know, at, like, your spots, you know. Or they'll say, like, oh, that looks very sore, your skin looks very sore, you know. And sometimes, you know, as women, we can try and cover that up with a bit of makeup, you know, but men can't do that, you know. And it is something that, I suppose, if I've seen somebody, you know, who has acne all over their face and it's so noticeable, the last thing I would do is ask them, you know, well, have you tried this? Have you tried that? Because I know myself how straight away you go into a shell and it's like, oh my God, it's that noticeable.
Well, I want to get them. Amy, thank you though, like, for sharing that experience with us today, because I can hear, you know, even in how you describe it, the toll that it takes on you and has done for a number of years.
Yeah.
Stay with us. Barry is on the line as well. Barry, what's your story?
Hi, Dan. Yeah, I'm 46 now. I still have keloid scars from acne that I had, like every other guy, I suppose, in my teens. I think I remember around 15, 16, I had really, it got like really bad. That was kind of the worst that it was. And 30 odd years later, yeah, I still have a keloid scar, one in particular that's sore every day. I can't wear certain types of shirts, or a seatbelt will be uncomfortable in the car as well. Yeah, I had it like pretty bad, chest, shoulders, face, everywhere where you could get it, basically. Yeah.
And I know, like, I can see even from the text coming in, and I come to them in a moment as well, just to get, you know, get other stories too. But, like, you know, people, so one of the points that a lot of the texters are making is that people often say things when you're a teenager, it's part of the teenage years and part of growing up, and you'll grow out of it. And but, like, you're talking now about being 46 and still dealing with daily pain from this.
Yeah, and I remember I even had an operation on those keloid scars in my early 20s, I think, and they went away and came back again So two of them seem to have, the pain went away. They're still there, still quite visible over time. But one in particular, it's just like it's exactly the same as it was 30 years ago, still quite sore. The other scars, I think I've like I would have been very self-conscious about taking my top off years ago in, on the beach or in public with the scars. But then eventually I just went, I can't remember why, I just went, look, this is what it is. And I just stopped worrying about it.
Bring us back, Barry, to school, if you can, if you don't mind, maybe when you're 14 and, and 15 and 16. And what are your memories of that?
It was an all-boys school, so I think most of the guys in the class were in the same boat. Some had it worse than others. I can't really remember that we kind of made fun of each other as such. I remember once I got a big spot in my nose, which was like something out of a comedy or a cartoon, and I was like, oh, I'm going to get like ripped to shreds when I went to school. So basically I just had to preempt and get the joke in first. But nobody, I remember everybody had a stage of it, but just some got away lightly compared to others. There were other people who were worse than me, so I can imagine it was just far worse for a woman, because I still have visible scars on my shoulders, whatever, on my face, like with the facial hair or whatever. They're still there when I, if I have, if I'm clean shaven, I can still see the scars, some scars, but it doesn't really bother me. But I can imagine it must be you know, some people who are self-conscious about scars must be pretty bad. The scars stay. So, and yeah, I still have the scars like 30 odd years later. Yeah, tried everything, cream.
Everything, yeah. That's what everybody says. We've tried everything, every treatment.
Drink water, don't eat chocolate.
Do this, do that, yeah.
Do that, do that. I think it's just luck of the draw. I don't know, maybe.
I know, well, that's, I'm hoping maybe we'll want to hear some stories and maybe see what has worked for people or what advice listeners might have today. Leanne is with us as well, Barry. Leanne Hannafin, presenter on 98FM. Is this something you've had to deal with, Leanne?
It is, yeah. And I would have developed this probably when I was in college. So when I was in school, my skin, thankfully, was quite clear. So I didn't have the typical teenage skin. You know, I had a couple of pimples here and there. But it was only when I got into college, so maybe around 19 or 20, that it started developing. So mine at that time was all concentrated on my forehead, which apparently is down to irregular sleep. It's down to stress. So I kind of put it down to the fact that it was just, you know, around exam time or something like that. But I'd say 3 or 4 years later, it was still there. And at this time, it had slowly started getting worse to the point where I then started developing acne more on my chin. And that kind of still what I'm dealing with at the moment. Thankfully, in the last, only within the last year really, my forehead started clearing up, but I'm still dealing with the acne that's on my chin, which is supposed to be hormonal reasons. So I know that the acne that I'm carrying at the moment is down to hormones. So yeah, it's not something that's great to deal with. Again, like we've heard this afternoon, I'm somebody that has tried everything as well, would be very self-conscious. With working, you know, 5, 6, sometimes 7 days of the week, I don't really go a day without makeup just because of how insecure I kind of would feel in it. So yeah, it's difficult to try and navigate.
And like it's obviously has knocked your confidence then, Leanne.
It has. Yeah, big time. I would struggle a lot to even leave the house without makeup on. If there is a day where I do and I'm having an exchange with someone or a conversation, I can't even focus on the conversation that we're having because always in my mind, I'm thinking to myself, oh my goodness, they're looking at my spots now. They're looking at the acne saying, oh God, you know, it's looking really bad or whatever. So yeah, it's definitely a confidence thing for sure. That's really been knocked.
Jennifer Rock, who's the owner of theskinnerd.com, Leanne is with us here as well. Like, Jennifer, do you get many people coming to you dealing with or to deal with acne?
100%. 100%, Andrea. I think the reality is I personally suffered with acne as a teenager, so I can relate to a lot of what Amy said originally and Barry said and what we're all saying. So it's a huge emotional topic. And I think the key thing is, I mean, statistically, 9% of people globally tend to suffer with acne. And we do tend to make that society link to, assuming that it's teenage based, but as you're hearing there, Barry, 46, is still suffering with the post piece of acne. So what I'd start off by saying is acne is a medical condition, and a lot of people will come to us, as you say, Andrea, to theskinnerd.com, and they'll say, I've tried everything. And so typically within our control, what we have to do then is be morally correct and ethically correct and say skincare isn't always going to be the answer when it comes to acne. So what I always try to say to our clients then is it persistent? Is it constant? So for example, if you're only getting 5, 6, 7, 8 spots in the same-ish area on a regular basis, that you feel there's an element of shame that we've spoken with, there's an element of secrecy, there's an element of camouflaging and having feeling like you want to hide your face and not be engaged in conversations, that's impacting your life. And so as a result of that, yes, you can, of course, explore short-term things like salicylic acid, which I've talked about on the show many times.
Yeah, yeah.
Antibacterial, anti-inflammatory helps prevent against those red marks that you're left with. But that's not going to be your long-term solution when, Amy mentioned earlier, hers is hormonal induced. So there's a lot of reasons and contributing factors internally. So I would always encourage someone go to their doctor and get a referral to a dermatologist. People like you have them on the show regularly. Professor Katrina Ryan of the Institute for Dermatologists are excellent. They'll guide you as to whether it's topical medication, internal medication, for how long, and the statistics that come from those are quite high. But you will, as with any illness, and that's the piece, that this is a disease. It's, if you look at the word broken down, it's a dis-ease. It's essentially the skin in a place of unease, but it's medical. And I think the hard part to hear is, and I've had it myself as a teenager, people make comments and feel that they're doing you right by giving you opinions, but it's not. The same way you wouldn't give someone an opinion if you saw a plaque on their face or psoriasis on their elbow. So I really think it's important that people look in the mirror. If it's getting them down, if it's constant, if it's starting to scar, and they've tried, as they say, everything on the planet, it does need medical attention. And I feel from listening to a lot of our clients that would perhaps come to us with their teenage children, we can help to a degree. So you can definitely have a huge impact with your cleansers, your serums, or SPF. And you should be doing that alongside what a doctor or a dermatologist reckons. But there's a reluctance for parents sometimes to want to bring their kid. And so my answer is, as a parent of a 19-year-old who's gone through that phase of life with their child, it really, listen to these stories, it really affects our emotional
it's
peace.
It's the
and
long
the last
term.
Thing then, Andrea,
I was going to say, it's the long-term impact, isn't it, really, of the long-term impact it can have for people that, you know, even have shared their story, like Barry there today as well. Can I ask you, Jennifer, because a couple of different texts came in and just summarise them into one. Listeners looking for recommendations for a cleanser or something you might recommend for teenagers with acne. And in particular, there's a lot of texts coming in for boys as well. Is anything you'd recommend on that?
Yes. If I finish off the last part just for one moment, there's a new-ish qualification, I don't mean that disrespectfully, which is called psychodermatology. It's essentially people that are psychologists, so you know the qualifications they've gone through to get there, alongside a dermatologist. And so back to what all three people that you've had on prior to me talk and spoke about is that emotional implication, the fact that they won't engage in a conversation, they're distracted, people are teasing, back to the whole point of the call, it's because of Scarlett Johansson talking about the volcano. My point is, do realise that it has an impact on your psyche, your mind. So don't underestimate that. And for the answer to there, yes, look, salicylic acid is your short-term fix to try and see, will that help mop up the extra oil? Will it help that redness? But if you're dealing with not just spots, but like what Barry's speaking about, which are cysts underneath the skin, he teased himself about how he had a large one on his nose, and I've had them myself in many school photos looking back. They can really debilitate you in the future. So I would say, yes, something like Skingredient Sally Cleanse 2%, brilliant to mop up extra oil. But if it's persistent and that is only a band-aid to the solution, please do look inside and please do
absolutely. Look, there's more stories coming into us. If you want to get in touch, if this is something living with acne, maybe in your early years, or like some of the callers today, something you're still dealing with, whatever, if you're looking for advice, send in your queries to us. It's 087 1400 106. That's the WhatsApp number. Give me a call either, 1800 453 106. We'll also be talking about long COVID as well very shortly.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan. Weekdays at midday on News Talk.
You have a vision for your business. Your priority might be to
expand facilities
or
bring in the best talent.
At Century Insurance, we listen, learn, and work to understand your business and your plans to help protect your
new locations.
As your business evolves and your vision comes true, Century, Right by you. Property and casualty coverages and underwritten and safety services are provided by a member of the Century Insurance Group, Stevens Point, Wisconsin. For a complete listing of companies, visit century.com. Policies, coverages, benefits, and discounts are not available in all states. See policy for complete coverage details.